19, 2 Kings 19. And for those of you who are new, maybe you've been coming here to this church for a couple of months. Thank you so much for being here this evening. My name is Benjamin Fassenroe, and I serve as the assistant to the pastor here. I'm close to being here for 2 years. It's a blessing to be here. I enjoy serving here, but I also serve in the children's ministry as well. So on Sunday mornings, when you hear a pastor dismiss the kids and they all run downstairs, I also go downstairs and I teach junior church. And it's something that I enjoy. I enjoy teaching the kids. And thank you, parents, for trusting me to teach your kids. I count it as a blessing and an honor. But last week, something a little unusual happened, and it's funny, so I thought I'd share it this evening. So usually when we go downstairs, basically what happens is they all run, as you all know, downstairs, and we gather in the huge space in the fellowship hall, and we have chairs set up. I usually pull the TV out, and we usually sing some songs, go over some memory verses before we dismiss into their different classes, and then they actually, that's where they get the lesson. And this particular time, I picked a few songs, and usually what I like to do is ask the kids, you know, what songs would you like to sing? They have a few favorites that they enjoy. So I asked them, and no one said anything except one person, one little kid in the back raised her hand. Eliana said she wanted to sing a song. So I thought, okay, yeah, what song would you like to sing? She said, Trust and Obey. So at first, as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, I don't have the words to the song. I don't have any music to the song. How is this going to work? But I thought, you know what? Let's just sing it. Let's see what happens. So I sang the verse, and then I was kind of thinking, oh, is anyone going to sing the chorus? And Eliana stands up, and with everything that she has, she's like, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Boy, after that, I'm like, she needs to come up Sunday morning and lead the singing. But, oh, man, it was awesome to see that. And it taught me something that, boy, kids pay attention and they learn. It's important what they take in. And it was a blessing to see that. And, boy, that's why I enjoy teaching the kids, because a few times they'll show something that, you know, that they are actually learning something. And it's a blessing to see. And boy, I count it an honor to teach the kids here at First Baptist. 2 Kings chapter number 19, and I will warn you that we will be in two chapters this evening, 2 Kings 18 and 19, but our main passage will be 2 Kings chapter number 19. And look what it says. We're just going to look at a few verses 1 through 4, 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Verse 2, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, look what it says right here, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Just to give you some history on what's going on in this passage, the children of Israel are continuing the history of good kings and bad kings. The most recent king at this time before Hezekiah being King Ahaz, and if you read anything about King Ahaz, he is a wicked, wicked king. And it wasn't just King Ahaz. It has been quite a few generations of wicked kings, except King Hezekiah. You see, King Hezekiah, he was a good king. The Bible specifically says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Let me just say that he didn't follow in his generation's footprints. He made a decision to do right in God's sight. This past Sunday, I taught in my Sunday school, 5th and 6th grade. We talked about obedience in Ephesians 6. And I explained that because of our obedience, God will bless it. God will bless obedience. And if you study Hezekiah's life, you will see that God blessed him because he made a decision to do what was right. As you can see on the title this evening of my message is Thriving in the Day of Trouble. And I want to say this evening that God wants us to live a thriving, victorious Christian life. And that does not change when things get difficult, when trials come, when temptations come, or when it gets difficult or tough. He still wants us to continue to live a victorious Christian life. And I want to ask you this evening, what are you going through right now that seems impossible to have victory in or from? What are you going through this evening right now that you are doing the opposite of thriving? You're not thriving at all. Maybe you thought that the beginning of this new year would be a little bit different. Maybe you're expecting something, but all of a sudden you find yourself drowning. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's finances. I'm not sure what it is. But you don't have to. You can thrive and live victoriously. And I also want to say that you are not the only one. You see, King Hezekiah, even though he did what was right, he still had days of trouble. And we will study this evening and learn how Hezekiah, what he did to thrive and what we can do so that we can live a victorious Christian life in the midst of our trouble. Let's learn a little bit more about what King Hezekiah is going through. If you look at the beginning of chapter 18, King Hezekiah takes over as the king in Judah. And the first thing he begins to do, he makes a decision to do right, and he starts cleaning out the country. He starts cleaning out the nation. He's burning images. He's just getting the country clean. And if you continue to read those verses, he had to burn the brazen serpent that Moses made in the wilderness because they were burning incense and they were worshiping that. So he had to destroy it, and he burned it. But this is the mess that Israel is in right now. They are worshiping false gods, and they are burning incense to false images. And this is the first thing that King Hezekiah starts to do. The Bible continues to describe Hezekiah as a man who clave to God and trusted in him. He was also someone who saw victory. When the Philistines had to be driven out, King Hezekiah did that, and he did a great job about that. But there was a group of people who comes in that King Hezekiah struggles against, and that is the Assyrians. Well, why was he so scared of the Assyrians? Why did Hezekiah's father, King Ahaz, bow down and submit to the Assyrians? What was so special about them? Why was Jonah, as we know the story of Jonah and the whale, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and that was basically where the Assyrians were. That's where they lived. Why was Jonah terrified and did not want to go tell the Ninevites about God's message? Well, here's a little thing about Assyria. They were considered to be one of the greatest armies of its time because of their cruelty and fear. They conquered neighboring countries quickly, and they made iron weapons. They are remembered by the weapon advancements, building roads for quick transportation, but their use of torture. They were cruel people, and that's how they built their empire, based on fear. And at this time, they had already conquered different parts of Israel. And at first, you know, Hezekiah, he rebels against them. He refuses to have anything to do with them. And that works for a little bit. But then a second king of Assyria takes over, King Sennacherib. And that's when Hezekiah panics. Then unfortunately, if you continue reading, that's where he forgets his God. He forgot the God he served and the decision he made. And that's when he started to go down. That's when he started to fear. Has that ever happened to you? Has there been a time that maybe you were so paralyzed with something that you were going through with fear that you forgot God? That he was not your first response? So many times we try to fix it ourselves, or we try to figure out what we can do to get out of it. You see, that's what King Hezekiah tried to do. If you continue reading, he decides to, maybe he can pay some tribute to the king. He starts going into the temple, and he starts taking away the gold and the silver, and he starts trying to pay tribute to the king of Assyria. And he thought that would work. He thought that if I could just satisfy him, they'll leave us alone. But that didn't happen. The king wasn't happy with it, and they continued to threaten Hezekiah and the people. As we look at this passage very quickly, let's look at Hezekiah's trouble. Then after that, we're going to look at how we can thrive in our day of trouble. Look what it says in chapter 18, verses 28. Chapter 19, verse number 28. First of all, there was a day of threats. This is what happens. In verse number 28 of chapter number 19, look what it says. It says, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore, I'm sorry, chapter 18, verse 19. Okay, there we go. This is what he says. And Rabshakeh, he was the first officer for the king. This is what he says. Speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Jump down to verse number 28. This was interesting. He threatens them even in their own language. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and the city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. If you keep reading to verse number 35, he threatens them that there's nothing that they can do. Forget about alliances, even forget about their God, because he won't be able to deliver them out of their hands. And all of a sudden, the people turn to Hezekiah. What now? What's going to happen now after all these problems? Imagine how Hezekiah felt at this point. I'm sure he felt alone. I'm sure some people blamed him for what was happening. Everyone is turned to Hezekiah. And he felt alone. He forgot about his God and who he was serving. I'm sure many of us have experienced that. A time where you made a decision and all of a sudden everyone's looking at you and you have no idea what to do and all of a sudden you just feel so small or you feel so alone. But it is vital to remember that you are not alone, that you have someone that can help you. And Hezekiah needs to remember that. And the blessing is he does. Look what it says in chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. As we read, look what it says in verse number 3. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there was not strength to bring forth. In verse number 1, it says he covers himself with sackcloth, and he goes back to the house of the Lord. Not to get gold and silver, but to go to the one who can help him. There was also a day of prayer. Hezekiah did what he should have done at the very beginning. He goes to God. He tells the only one who can help him in this situation, the only one who can hear and answer him. Aren't you thankful this evening that we praise and we pray and we worship the one who can hear us and who can answer us? Aren't you thankful for that? The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Aren't you glad that we can pray to someone who can hear and promises that he will hear and answer? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I remember when my family, we first moved to Nigeria. We moved to the capital at that time. It wasn't Abuja, which it is right now. It's Lagos. And I remember going to sleep and waking up early because I heard something that was throwing me off. Around 6 a.m., I heard the Muslims praying to Allah. They wake up at dawn and they start saying these prayers, and it's very weird. And if you've heard it, you know exactly what I mean. But do you realize that they pray 5 times a day? They go to the corner and they grab their mat or whatever they need and they roll it out and they bow and pray to Allah. They do that 5 different times. The sad thing is they do that to someone who doesn't care whether they live or die, and it doesn't matter what they do. But they think it's true. They think that Allah is the one who can save them and help them. But there's nothing that a false god can do for them. Can't hear them or do anything about their situations. But I'm glad that I worship a God who can hear me and will answer. In verses 11 through 13, Hezekiah, he receives letters and messages from the king with a closing threat as a reminder that they were going to come back. But in verse 35 through 37 of chapter 19, there was a day of deliverance. God delivers them out of the hand of the Assyrians. How did he do it? Well, I think this is one of the coolest stories in the Bible, because in one night, over 185,000 soldiers were killed in one night by an angel. Then the king went back home, and he got killed by his own sons. God delivered them. If you read through the Bible, I'm telling you, there is nothing like someone that we read, a character in the Bible who prays for something, and then God answers. And the blessing is God can still do that today. Sunday nights, pastor, he opens the room up for testimonies, and every week we hear about what God is doing, and it's a blessing to hear it because we know that we worship and praise a God who can hear and answer prayers. Now, how can we learn from this story? How can we thrive when our time comes, when our trial comes? How can we, when our day of trouble comes, how can we thrive in that day of trouble? Well, look what it says in chapter 19, verse number 1. First of all, notice that there has to be a returning to God. Look what it says in verse number 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. As I mentioned, he went in there previously to get the gold and silver and tried to bribe the king, but it didn't work. This time, he comes and he realizes, you know what? I need to go to the house of the Lord and do what it's intended for, to pray to God. And he did it. The sackcloth, it was a form of mourning of great distress, and he was in great distress. It says that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. And not just him. In verse number 2, Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, they all were covered in sackcloth. This was a difficult time. But Hezekiah learned that, you know what? I need to go back to God. We need to stop trying to figure out our situations on our own and in our own strength. Turn back to God. Stop trying to do things in your own strength. The Bible says in John 15, verse 5, for without me, ye can do nothing. What are you trying to do in your own strength this evening? What are you trying to do this new year that you are trying to figure out on your own? Maybe you're in a day of trouble right now, and you're trying to figure out how you can avoid it or just get through it or pacify the situation. Learn right now that if you are going to thrive in your day of trouble and live a victorious Christian life, you need to go to the one who can help you thrive. Go to the one who can give you the victory. But when I think of someone who had to go back, I think of the prodigal son. Boy, he was in a pen of pigs and mud and slop and all sorts of disgusting things. And then all of a sudden, I imagine this. There was one time in college when my roommate asked him if I could wake him up. And the first question I asked was, can I use water? And he said, sure, whatever, use whatever. I need to get up at 5 a.m. So I tried waking him up. He wouldn't wake up. So I got a cup, and I went to the kitchen, got the coldest water I could find. I stood there for these 5 minutes, and I threw it on him. And he bolted awake. Like, in a second, he was awake. But I imagine this as the prodigal son. Maybe he just snaps to it, and he's like, what am I doing here? I need to go back to the Father. Let's decide in 2025 that we are going to turn back to God, who is the source of all strength, and he is the only one who can help. I think if anyone understood what it meant to turn to God, we read one of the Psalms this evening in our prayer time. But David in Psalms 25, he's dealing with enemies, and he casts his trust on God to deliver the nation out of trouble. The final verse in Psalms 25 says, redeem, O God, thy nation, Israel. David looked to God for help. Hezekiah finally turned to God for help, and you can do the same. The Bible is full of characters who trusted in God. Joshua, as pastor's preaching through on Sunday mornings, he had to turn to God, and he had to trust God to lead the children of Israel to Canaan. Are you turning to God for help? Maybe, you know, maybe in 2024, you were going through something. Maybe you had a time of trouble, and you're trying to figure things out on your own. Well, you don't have to. Just turn back to God. Not only was there of returning to God. For us to thrive, we need to return to God. But secondly, there has to be a removal of self. Look what it says in verse number 3. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Hezekiah had to humble himself and realize that there was nothing he can do. This verse basically means that the time is here and they have no strength. There was nothing that Hezekiah can do. They have no strength left. They had to turn to God. Oswald Chambers said, prayer is so often used as a last resort when it should be your first line of defense. Our pride and self gets in the way of telling God that you have no strength left and you can't do it. And the thing is, God already knows you can't do it. He already knows you. But we try to do things in our own strength when we can't. Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He is willing to help and he wants to help. But we need to die to self. How do we die to self? By surrendering. Like we learned last week, once Jacob, after he wrestled with God all night, finally, he surrendered. And that's when he got a new name. That's when he could really see God work in him. That's when the blessings started to come. I find it interesting that Jacob schemed his way to get blessings. And even when he's wrestling with God, even he's saying, give me a blessing. But it wasn't until Jacob stopped. It wasn't until it was over that he got the blessing. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. As Christians, our lives are not ours, but we should be surrendered to God. I was thinking about surrender this morning. And as I was doing my devotions, this book that I'm going through, it's a book that's it's called Courageous, and it has devotionals as you read a verse. And this particular passage was in Luke 1, 46 through 50. And I thought it a bit odd, you know, surrender in Luke 1. I just thought it didn't disconnect. But then I started to learn, and this is what the book said. The book said that one of the best expressions of surrender is praise and worship. My first thought was, How is this possible? Like, how is surrender associated with praise and worship? Then I realized that as we acknowledge how good God is, what he can do in our lives, and what he has done for us, and who he is, and what we can't do without him, and how we can't do anything without him, then I realized that is surrender. We surrender when we acknowledge that there is nothing that we can do. As we praise and worship him, as we realize that, you know what, there is nothing that I can do. It's not about me, it's all about him. And we see that with Mary in Luke 1, 46 through 55. After she sees Elizabeth and she realizes, you know what, God is doing something here. Then she starts to praise God. Have you surrendered this year to him yet? Are you surrendering to God's will for your life this evening? Trials will come in 2025. Trouble will come in 2025. And if you want to thrive when the time comes, you must remove self and surrender to God's will for your life. You want to thrive this year? Well, you have to return to God. Just decide right now. Just like Hezekiah decided to do right in the sight of the Lord, decide right now that you're going to go to him and that you're going to surrender to his will for your life. This is my favorite part. Are you ready? The third point, right here, verse 32 through 34. Look what it says. The Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. You have to return to God, and you have to there has to be removal of self-surrender. But lastly, once you take care of those two things, then there will be a revealing of God's power. Look what it says in verse number 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Hezekiah goes to sleep. Maybe throughout the night he's hearing the army. Maybe they're doing whatever. Maybe they're still threatening him. And when he wakes up, there's no more army. God delivered them, and he showed his power. But truly, if we are going to see God's power, I just think, look what it says in verse number 22. So you have the king's threats. You have all that, the day of threats, all that he says. Now, look what it says, not verse 22. Look what it says in verse number 10. Now, this is basically what's going on. So the army, the Assyrian army leaves for a little bit. They had to go deal something with the country, which was God's doing. And before they leave, the king sends a message to Hezekiah. He thinks Hezekiah is celebrating. You know, he thinks it's over. But look what it says. This is the threat. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my father have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Reseph and the children of Edom which were in Thelsar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva? He's listing all these things that he has done. But you know what? God takes verses 22 and goes all the way to the end of the chapter, and you see God's response. Basically, he says, you know what? I'm the one that's done all this. I'm going to take care of it. That's what he says in that passage. He says, hey, you know what? They'll not blaspheme against you. They'll blaspheme against me. And God gives a response. And we see God's power. But you know what? Hezekiah saw the power as soon as he turned back to God and humbled himself and realized that he could not do it. This is the power of the God who we serve. Hezekiah wasn't expecting this. Maybe he thought there'd be some battle or something, or maybe God would give him more people in his army so that they can battle it out. But this is the power of God that we serve. This is what happens when you can trust in God. He can deliver and reveal his power in ways that you have no idea. Throughout the Bible, we see how God did miracles in Joshua. He asked God for the sun and the moon to stand still so that his armies could continue to fight. The way that they conquered the city of Ai, how God provided miracles throughout the Bible. You see, these miracles that we read about in Joshua, it wasn't about Joshua. In this passage, it's a great decision that Hezekiah made, but it wasn't about Hezekiah. It's not about you or me and the trials we go through. It's about the God who we serve. It is and will always be about God and his power revealed. As you see God do miracles in 2024, nothing's going to change in 2025. It's not going to be about you or me. It still will be about God. There is no limit to God's power in your life. He is just looking for someone who will be fully surrendered and yielded to him. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Do you desire God's power in your life? Do you desire to be used by God in this new year? Hezekiah had to learn that if he wanted to see God's power, don't go to the temple, don't start taking the gold, silver, don't do any of that. Just go back to God. Go back to what he already knew and what he did when he decided to do right. You see, a trial came and he stumbled a little bit, but he turned back to God. Maybe you didn't see God work last year. Maybe you saw God work in different people, but you never got to experience it on your own. Well, you can this year. Amen. Just turn to God and surrender to him, and you will see the great and mighty things that God mentions in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It was a house in California, as you all know, what's happening in L.A. with all the fires and the wildfires. But I woke up this morning and I saw this story. There was a man who owned a house on the street. You can see it on the screen behind me. And he took out his camera and he started recording his entire street. He started showing all the fires that had burned and how it had gone through his streets, his entire block. But there was one house that was untouched, and it was his own. They asked him, you know, what did you do? What did you build? Like, what secret thing did you cover the house with? He said, I have no idea. He said, all we know is it wasn't anything that I did. He himself said that this is something that only God could do. The world around us is going crazy. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But when trials and troubles come into our life, we can be just like this house that did not burn. We can thrive. We can be victorious. And people will look at us and wonder, what is the secret? What are you doing that's different than what I'm doing? I've tried doing all this stuff. I've tried doing everything in my own strength. What are you doing that's working? And you can just say, there's really nothing that I'm doing. It's the God I serve. And it's the God who I surrendered to and submitted to. And that's when God can work. It amazed me. His entire block was burned except his house. And all he said was, this is only God. If you want to thrive in this new year, you can't do it in your own strength. The trials and troubles that you go through, you can't endure it, and you cannot be victorious during that time unless you go to God, the source of the strength and the joy that you can tap into. Unless you submit to his will in your life, not just part of you, all of you. And then you'll get to see God's power revealed. And it's nothing that you could ever imagine. It is truly great and mighty things that God can do in your life. We can smile and have victory. Even though things around us may be going up in flames, we can have a victorious Christian life. This evening, just for a few moments, let's decide that, you know what? I want to see God do great things in my life. I want to see God do great things in my family's life. I want to see God do great things around us and in my life. But if that's going to happen, just go back to God. Surrender yourself to him. Submit to his leading and his will. Then once you do that, then you'll see the walls fall. Then you'll see the giants fall. The trials and the day of trouble, you can thrive in. If you turn to God, submit to his will, then you'll see God's power revealed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just have a time of prayer this evening, and I want to ask you, do you desire God's power in your life? It may seem impossible. You may say, you have no idea what I'm going through. It's true, I don't. But God does. And you can live a victorious Christian life only through him and his strength. You have to surrender. You have to make the decision. It's up to you. But God wants to use you. And he wants you to thrive. But you have to desire it. Surrender to him. Submit to him this evening. In this new year.
Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you, God, for the message and the messenger. What a timely reminder, oh Father, as we return to you and we surrender ourselves and we look to you only. Father, do that which only you can do. And Father, may you receive all the glory, for you're worthy. And Father, this year, do something incredible, something great, for your name's sake and for your kingdom. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.